we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Well, I have never seen Jordan Peterson, out of the hundreds of hours I've watched him, so animated and upset with one of his guests as I have last week. Jordan, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I think what happened is this guy is a basically kind of your typical 40-year-old liberal, and they were having a discussion. And it's interesting to see what side the left has taken on this, because I will tell you, as Jordan Peterson points out, the liberal, and we're talking classical liberal people, would usually have said, don't trust pharma, or trust big corporations, or big corporations are evil. But it seems that ever since Biden became president, especially, it's, the pharmaceutical companies are basically our friends and benevolent, producers of all things good. They just happen to make some money from it. It's not their fault, which is, again, kind of nuts. So here it goes.
Obviously, glaring possibility is that injecting billions of people with a vaccine that was not tested by any stretch of the imagination with the thoroughness that it should have before it was forced upon people also might be a contributing factor. Partly because we know that it led to a rise in myocarditis among young men. And we also know that there was absolutely no reason whatsoever to ever recommend that that vaccine was delivered to young children, so whose risk of death at COVID was so close to zero that it might as well have been zero.
When you're talking about a disease, the risk of death isn't the only thing that you worry about for the disease.
So you're going to talk about transmission?
It didn't do anything to transmission. Absolutely did, because it decreased your chance of getting infected. It didn't destroy, it didn't get rid of transmission, but it reduced transmission.
Yeah, but it was claimed that it would get rid of
only
transmission.
Only if you take one reading of one single quote, I think that Biden said one time where he said, no, come on, Biden one time on the news says, if you get the vaccine, you won't transmit the disease.
That is so silly.
Which was it? No.
Do you know that our prime minister in Canada deprived Canadians of the right to travel for 6 months because the unvaccinated were going to transmit COVID with more likelihood than the vaccinated? So this wasn't one bloody statement.
What I'm saying is there wasn't a statement given that if you get vaccinated, there is a 0% chance of transmitting the disease. The idea is that vaccines were supposed to help because it reduces your hospitalization, reduces death, and it reduces transmission, hopefully by making it so that people don't get sick or don't get sick for as long. All three of those things, the vaccines did exceedingly well. They were tested. The myocarditis rates are like 7 out of 100,000 injections. And the myocarditis is generally acute. And it's generally not as bad as even getting the coronavirus itself, which will lead you also
to
having
myocarditis. It's a much worse side effect than side effects that have caused other vaccines to be taken off the market before.
Out of 100,000 rate of acute myocarditis or pericarditis is not a worse side effect than any other vaccine. I think that is a completely acceptable, given that the disease itself is more likely to cause myocarditis or pericarditis.
Wow. I don't think the data suggests to support that presupposition anymore. The latest peer-reviewed studies show that that's simply not true, especially among young men. I told you at the beginning of this conversation that the progressive leftists were on the side of the pharmaceutical companies.
It's not about being on the side of the pharmaceutical companies. It's about...
Really?
What I see
as the unholy part of that alliance with the pharmaceutical companies is that it dovetails with the radical utopians' willingness to use power to impose their utopian vision.
Well, then what do you
make
of the fact that...
Otherwise, how would you explain
Bingo.
It? Because the leftists should have been the ones that were most skeptical about the bloody pharmaceutical companies. And they jumped on the vaccine bandwagon in exactly the same way that you're doing right now.
Pharmaceutical companies have helped us tremendously.
Yeah,
throughout the-
right. There we go. Fine. No,
you think modern medicine
hasn't? So. No, I don't think
that you're
so.
You're just wrong.
I think they're
you're
utterly
wrong.
I see. So you don't think that the pharmaceutical companies who dominate the advertising landscape with 75% of the funding are corrupt?
I don't. Corrupt is a
corrupt.
Very broad.
No. It's.
Do you think that corrupt with a tinge of malevolence, willing
to extract money out of people by putting their health on the line?
Do you think that we get effective drugs from pharmaceutical companies?
Not particularly.
So, I think that was a great back and forth, mainly because first it exposed the lack of knowledge of, and actually Peterson at least is a good, he's a good debater, because sometimes when facts are on your side and the other person is saying things that aren't necessarily true, most of the audience is aware of the fact that what he was spouting was basically just PR from the CDC and NIH. Stuart, were the vaccines ever tested for their, again, in a randomized controlled trial, like Fauci and the other ilk say everything has to be, were they ever tested for their ability to keep people out of the hospital or their ability to, prevent severity of disease?
No, they were not.
That's interesting, because he just said that they were that was their purpose. Why would they not test that if that was their purpose?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because the evidence, whether you look at the Cleveland Clinic evidence, or there's unbelievable amounts of evidence that's the exact opposite, like Jordan Peterson was going to. But this
this person basically is listening to the farm shills,
right,
and taking what they say as gospel.
Yeah,
which, and again, just proves his point. So
yeah, the absurdity that these things don't have severe side effects. What led to him led to this part of the discussion, the debate, was Jordan Peterson simply asked him about, what about all the excess deaths, the 20% rise in excess deaths the last couple of years in Europe? To which the guy said, no, that's not true. Well, it's not our data. People dying is something you can't hide.
Yeah.
And now I know that the media does, the Trusted News Initiative and those that follow along with that do. But you can't deny that Aunt Jean is dead now.
Or that the 40-year-old whatever. I mean, again, as Pierre's pointed out in this data, really the concerning thing is not that, I mean, again, all life is precious, but the, old people happen to die. But it's the, 24 to 44 age range that has had that kind of unexplainable increase.
Exactly. Ed Dowd talks about in his book, but also this past week, Pierre Corey was on with David Gronowski, and they talked about it. And in every age group, the deaths are occurring at excessive numbers like we've never seen before, to the point that the average life expectancy has gone down by like 2.5 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's, and 80-year-olds dying does not necessarily lower the life expectancy much. It takes for people to actually lower that actual median number, that it takes young people passing at an alarming rate.
Yeah, so. a three, let's say it's a 3-month drop in life expectancy. That's a huge volume of people dying.
And young people.
2.5, yeah. But a 2.5-year drop? We're living through the greatest die-off in our country's history, and people want us to ignore it, and we can't.
Or they say it's global warming.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it got really hot this past year, the last 2 years. It's insanity, and we're having to suffer this foolishness like never before. People just want to dismiss the reality right before them, and no wonder I was so proud of Jordan Peterson for getting so animated. I've never seen him this animated. You are amazingly ignorant, and people are dying, was basically what he was saying.
Yeah, it's, again, and then at the end, saying that the pharmaceutical companies are good. But I think it did point out exactly what he was saying, which is, Peterson was saying, is there is there's this kind of control, utopian control, from the elites, that there has to be some way to control something that's not great. And the answer to that is this pill or this shot or this whatever. It's not any other thing. And I think that's where modern medicine, unfortunately influenced by the pharmaceutical cartel in a sense, has gone, where the only solution It's not eating better. It's not adjusting what kind of minerals are in our food. It's not, exercise. It's, instead it's eat what you want, be body positive, take this shot, and everything will be fine.
Yeah. But it was so incredulous that these people would ignore such an important metric as excess deaths. It reminds me, yesterday at Easter, we were talking about the excess deaths, and unfortunately, a cousin of mine was like, "You're kidding. I took all the shots. I'm taking any of them they get." And I was like, "Well, we know how they're hurting people and killing people. Well, if they're so bad, why aren't I dead?" Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the way you play the odds, huh? If it doesn't happen to me, then it must not happen. It's amazing. Yeah.
And by the way, and that's how medicine works, right?
Right.
We take medicines off the market because only when you die.
Right. Right.
No, I mean, the point of getting them off the market is because we don't want you to.
That's right. A lot of things were revealed by that interview.
Yeah. I think
The guy's nickname is Destiny or something like
that. Yeah, he's like some liberal. He's a liberal kind of Twitter / I don't know what he does. But anyway,
he's got a lot
of amazing
who
can get influence in today's world.
Right.
And he's probably got money from the pharmaceutical companies, because the way he was talking,
right,
I think it almost sounded like he was scared to lose some of his contracts. So.
Right. But he's a very smart guy, very eloquent guy. But what a fool.
Yep. Other thing, just going back to another the vaccine, but there was a paper that came out March 14th looking at persistent immune imprinting occurs after vaccination with the COVID-19 XBB 1.5 booster in humans. So this is going back to, we've talked about this earlier, even last year. This was the first booster that they couldn't figure out why there was immune imprinting. And immune imprinting basically means when you give this new booster, what you actually end up doing is getting the old effects. Meaning it's producing titers, or it's producing antibodies of the original insult, not the new insult. And that is, again, not something that you want, because the whole purpose of a booster is supposedly to update your immunoglobulins, meaning like your antibodies. And instead, this seems to be just eliciting a bunch more antibodies from your original infection or your original injection. Sorry.
Yeah. So as a result, you don't get the, you get suppression. The big point is you get suppression of potentially helping against the new strains, and you don't get the buildup to prevent the new strains or to fight them off.
Yep.
So it's suppression and it's not helping.
And again, I mean, it's just crazy to me that the answer to this, or the conclusion to this, again, this is in Cell, so it probably had to have this conclusion. It says immune imprinting persists after these boosters, which will need to be considered to guide future vaccination. So basically, our product has an outcome that is not what we expected. It's also not helpful.
So we need to consider it. Don't stop, but just consider it.
Yeah, but the next shot we give you, we might want to think about this.
So that
again shows you how, I think if I were to ask these people, which I think is, if you ask you their actual plain opinion, first of all, I think most of these people are probably saying, "Hey, I ain't touching that. Look at this thing. I don't know why this is happening." I mean, that's basically the point of writing this paper. But to get it printed, they probably had to refine it to more of a, "Hey, this is, it would inform us a little bit better about what we're dealing with," which is, again, not how medicine works. It's also not how medicine that is supposed to be preventive works. I will say that, I mean, in, you know, when you're treating disease itself, meaning disease that you have, cancer or some chronic infection, sometimes the explanations of what's happening with the treatment or the side effects are not as well understood. But then again, you're treating a sick person. We're talking about giving this to well people and recommending they do it, and then not really knowing what the heck it does is not a good thing.
Well, you and I know, and the evidence shows we know what happens. We know, once again, people, we know how these millions, probably billions of people are being adversely affected and some killed by these awful shots. It's not a mystery. It's
It is not a mystery.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we will be back again. This is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse. Always one beat ahead.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back. Again, one thing you're starting to hear is that a rehash of the source of this virus. I think in some ways, I think there is a little bit of covering their backside. But people that we've actually played on this show before, Paul Offit, for instance, last week was interviewed and basically said that the people that were pushing disinformation and were causing harm to science were Marty McCary and Kulldorff and even our Senator Paul Rand. But again, I think this is a rehashing of reality. And I think what we need to do is go back and listen to another official. An official has become a friend of mine. He was interviewed recently, which is the former CDC director, Dr. Redfield. And he has no love lost for Tony Fauci, mainly because they've been working, not necessarily together, but along each other's side for a long time, back to when they were both in Gallo's lab and fighting HIV. They both have very different perspectives on things. One thing I think I admire Dr. Redfield for is he is a God-fearing man, which in today's world is unusual in science. And actually, that's to our detriment. But here is him being interviewed about the kind of ongoing discussion of the source of this, the source of COVID, the source of also the spike protein.
Dr. Redfield, I think a lot of people might say, well, okay, we don't know exactly for sure which of these two hypotheses it is. Policy, maybe policy changes should happen to guard against both of them. You know, there's only maybe so much we can do about open wet markets in China, but if we had them in the U.S., we would close them. We would also maybe renew the moratorium on gain-of-function research, which expired in 2018. My understanding is some exceptions were granted anyway under that moratorium. Dr. Fauci was deposed on this issue and gave some inclination that he might have personally signed off on some exceptions, but now that moratorium no longer exists. Do you think we should re-implement a moratorium on this research like today?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I've taken the position that I've taken, you know, I just prefer to stay out of the public eye and been there, done that. But I took this position because I feel very strongly that we need to have a moratorium on gain-of-function research. I told you that the great pandemic is coming. I think it's going to come not from spillover. It's going to become from gain-of-function research or intentional bioterrorism, right? It's going to be a bird flu virus that is manipulated to be able to transmit human to human, very similar to what we saw with the COVID. You know, in 2014, that laboratory published that they finally learned how to take their COVID virus and have it bind to the H2 receptor in humanized mice, and therefore it could go human to human. I mean, they did the experiments. They published them in 2014. And now we see that there's a COVID virus, which is, I think, has a number of signature sequences in it that aren't normal. The furin cleavage site, the fact that they use the nucleotide triplet for arginine that humans use, not bats use. The fact that COVID right now can barely infect bats, but can infect humans. I should tell you that there's a lot of evidence that this virus was manipulated to be able to be highly transmissible among humans. I think it was done probably as part of the biodefense program that largely was trying to make a vaccine vector that would be used for good purposes. But unfortunately, that virus escaped and it was highly transmissible for humans. And you saw by the time it escaped, which was probably somewhere in the September timeframe. You remember in September, that laboratory did three things. They changed the management from the civilian to military. They deleted all the sequences of the viruses and they put a contract in for a new ventilation system. That's about the same time they began to see some illness in the area. So I think that's when the epidemic started. And I do think the gain of function research moratorium is something should happen. It shouldn't be decided just by scientists. I happen to be a scientist. But we shouldn't decide this ourselves. There should be a broader debate of society whether this research needs to be done or not. Tony will argue it needs to be done. Collins will argue it needs to be done. I think that debate should happen. And if the answer for society is we need to do the research because the potential good is greater than any harm, then we should figure out how do we do it in a safe, responsible, and effective way. But right now, this research is being done in university laboratories all over the world. And again, I'll go on record, you know, don't like to say it. My parents were scientists. It hurts me to say this. But I do believe that the most likely answer when we get to the truth is that this pandemic was caused by science, not by a natural spillover event.
So, I mean, I think, first of all, he's being honest, which I think is unusual. And he's also just giving his open thoughts about things without trying to protect anybody's funding or anything, which I think is the biggest problem right now. So,
yeah, and it's clear that this thing was created. Simply look at the patents. If you look at the patents, like David Martin knows like the back of his hand and has talked about around the world, the patents are unassailable. This thing was created. And let's back up. If you are a person that has bought into all these horrible, wicked, most evil lies, the biggest catastrophe in our country's history, we were responsible for it. If you don't know that we created this virus, you need to wake up. We created this virus. Chapel Hill, there were throughout the world, we've been doing these kind of things. But Eco Alliance through University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, I was so glad that Alabama beat them this past weekend in basketball to advance to the Final Four. But the level of evil that you have bought into, if you still believe these fools, you've got to wake up. There's nothing worse than what we've done.
Yeah, and it goes back to hubris. I mean, I think that in quote, I like that Dr. Redfield said there is, this was caused by science. So I think what he's playing off there is the follow the science. Well, right. In some ways, that's what we've heard for the last 4 years, follow the science. Well, science caused the problem. So maybe, I'm not saying science, I mean, science is again, as we talked about before, it is not a leader, it is an informer. But maybe we don't need to give, you know, the logical fallacy of the, you know, deferring to the expert here. Well, what if we need a solution. Well, what if the solution that you're getting from the expert is the person that caused the problem that you're trying to solve? Right. Now, it would be nice to have them openly inform us what the heck they did, but I'm not going to allow them to run the cleanup project. So.
Right. That's exactly what Barrick and those guys did after it was after the cat was out of the bag. They tried to cover it up by sending their team over to investigate. And lo and behold, they didn't find anything wrong.
Yep.
It is everything about this is poisonous and ruinous and deadly. It is the age of death, like the culture of death that John Paul II talked about in the 1980s and 1990s.
I think it's contrary. Again, I think I kind of opened with the fact that I respect Dr. Redfield for multiple reasons, but he's also become a friend of mine. But he's also somebody who is a God-fearing man. And I think there's a lot to be said, especially in medicine, where you're dealing with image bearers of God and dealing with their life and death, and then dealing with how our image-bearing mechanisms interact with the environment. There's a lot to be said for somebody who is humble in that fact. And, you know, going back to Proverbs, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the problem with the ilk that are running our universities, especially in the medical sciences now, in the biological sciences, is there is no fear of God.
Yeah. And you look at Fauci's interview with the BBC in January, back in January, and we played it at the time. He has no fear of God. He is his own God. He said so. Go back and run the tape. He is a fool's fool. And what he has wrought on this earth, he is the biggest mass murderer in American history by far. And what?
But the craziest thing is he's celebrated.
Yeah, he's celebrated. Well, right. The culture of death. But Redfield has been at odds with him since the 80s.
Yep.
He has not been going along with him, and then in the last 5 years, seen who Anthony Fauci is. He's been the anti-Fauci inside the system from back then. And it's amazing that we have put so much trust in such an evil person and an institution and the corruption of science itself at all levels. It's so tragic.
but at the same time, not necessarily surprising.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we, when we look at, I think, even the consequence of church going, and what I would say is, I mean, I understand, as I would agree, church going is not the equivalent of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but church going is a good indicator of where a society is, or at least attending religious services. And not only was it already on decline, but maybe the devil rejoices in the outcome of COVID in terms of staying home and what that did to the church further.
Yeah, it played right into his evil schemes time and time and time again, to the point that, I mean, preachers, priests, and rabbis, the Pope, you've got to get these poisonous shots. The discernment was not there from the beginning, and they fell into the trap, and I dearly love these men, and several of these men that I know that fell for it, that still promote these awful evil shots. They're a gift from God. They're not a gift from our God, yours and my God. You don't know, love your neighbor if you don't get your vaccine. And we know it's not a vaccine, but now it turns out with shedding, in fact, if you use their logic, you hate your neighbor by getting the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so ups, down, downs, up, as the Lord tells us in his word. But, we are standing, seeking to humbly stand for the Lord, stand for truth, and expose the obvious insanities that are laying right before us. None more important than the excess deaths.
Yeah, and I think the other problem with the excess death, I don't necessarily think the elites care. I think they might act. I mean, again, I don't want to, I'm not somebody to judge, but I don't feel like they care because they may be fine with it.
Well, I think that the average doctor going out there who's been supportive of these isn't nefarious like the Gates and the people running the show. But if you look at these statements like Henry Kissinger in 1974, the Kissinger Report, the movie that had over 100 million views within a month of going out, died suddenly on Rumble. It goes through the history of what these people have been planning for. Do I think the majority of doctors have been thinking like that? Of course not.
Hmm.
But there's been an operation at play from the beginning over the last 5 years that to the detriment of all. And very, very sad. But I think it can be, this past weekend at the Easter table, it could be summed up. And I was not antagonistic toward her, but I said, everybody, I think it would be, I would be remiss if everybody just simply understood that they need to detox if they took the shot. Detox? Why would I want to detox from the shot? And I used air quotes, the quotes. And by the way, I've been meaning to say this for several months. Whenever I say, or our side says detox, what we mean by that, we use air quotes, is because there's no confirmatory test yet widely available that confirms you are getting rid of all of the spike protein. And so we're just making that statement based on how people do when they take the detox, when they detox from these shots. So it's technically not a detox because we don't have the tests that can confirm that. Last week I heard that there was one that was approved, but I haven't confirmed that with Ryan Cole yet. But, you know, the whole point is try and be honest. And don't be defensive like this fool that was on with Jordan Peterson last segment. We're all here. We're in the same boat, if you will. We want the best. Y'all want the best. Well, let's pause and say, what is the true evidence? They have lied. I couldn't believe it. Last week, Bill Maher on his show went through a laundry list of about 15 things that they lied to us about. Finally, after 4 years, the scales.
I saw it as well. And anybody who doesn't have children around can go watch it. But I would have played it had it not been for the fact that Bill Maher, especially, is there's a reason that he's on at 11 o'clock on a Friday night. but it, he made it pretty funny because, I mean, it was just and laughing. At, I mean, sometimes, you know, humor is one of the great informers because it kind of exposes what the stupidity. But yeah, it was pretty on display because it was, you know, from cleaning off your mail to having you know, paper cutouts of attend baseball games to just the kind of
don't go to the beach or you'll get arrested. I mean, the insanity, taking kids out of school. I mean,
it's crazy. Those 4 years ago, this weekend, that, you know, four Easters ago, you know, we were all told to do all this.
Yeah. So. And one Cheryl Atkinson, who you know, Jordan, Cheryl Atkinson last week or two weeks ago, maybe, put out a laundry list like this. It's even more extensive than the one Bill Maher did. And it's, it is G-rated. If anything of COVID can be considered G-rated, it's triple X-rated, really. But, anyways, either one of those sources is good.
Well, with that, we will be back. We're going to talk about some studies that have come out on the next segment, one of them being related to the vaccine as well.
Hey, Jordan, before we end, I was talking to Malcolm, our producer, Malcolm Out Loud, our producer last week, and I think we're overdue and just thanking I certainly am overdue. Every week we should just be thanking our audience. He told me that the latest numbers are over 500,000 listens a month. Top 5% of health podcasts in the country here on America Out Loud Pulse, iHeartRadio. Thank you so much. Send us your questions.
Voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical. But you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing. Giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Back to America Out Loud Pulse. I am Dr. Stuart Tankersley with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter season and celebration of our purpose, if you will. I think talking about purpose, one of the purposes that was so frustrating and missing from real science from the beginning of COVID, and it was maddening really, was early on, people like Dr. Bruce Patterson, these wonderful, wonderful, brilliant scientists, should have immediately been digging into what are some markers, what are some things we can look at in people's like blood work to determine who is not going to do well if they get an infection and who is going to ride it out pretty well. Or as you recall, half of the people that got infected in 2020 didn't have any symptoms. So how should we have gone about early diving into real science so we can really help people to know who to jump on with both feet and with all the tools at our disposal, who really needs to be help treated aggressively early on. And Bruce Patterson, who has been a hero throughout all of this, once again delivers with another study. Jordan, you want to go through that?
Yeah, so what this does is, and I think it would have been great, you know, kind of talking about what you're just talking about, it would have been great in a world where to find out what's actually happening, guess what you actually have to do, Stuart?
Look at a patient.
Look at a patient, test the patient before day 11 or whatever, you know, it's right. Again, I think that was probably one of the things that, you know,
day 11 was the average day at which point somebody had first had symptoms when they were admitted into the hospital.
Yes. And during that a whole time, they were told to do supportive care, which is basically hydrate themselves and take some Tylenol.
Don't go outside and go lay down. And
yeah, right. Exactly. But, you know, again, I think that's a lot of that is past in terms of our ability to truly understand acute COVID well. I mean, we do now a lot better, but, you know, it's way late. But interestingly enough, what Bruce Patterson has done here is I think me and Pierre would probably agree that the biggest issue now is that, you know, long COVID is being the term for these symptoms in the context of the virus. But as he would point out, I don't know what my data is, but he claims about 70% of his people that are long COVID are actually long vax. And I would argue that there's a lot of that within my population is, you know, they definitely didn't feel good after COVID, and then they got the booster. And it was a game changer in terms of, you know, precipitating things downhill. And then a lot of people, I mean, just literally got the vaccine and were devastated. So what he's looking at here is this difference between those that were vaccinated and then those that were not, and seeing what's, you know, basically what kind of cytokine profiles happen. So what he basically did was take 50 people who received one of the improved vaccines and who experienced long COVID or PASC symptoms, and he compared them to 45 individuals post-vaccination without symptoms. again, going back to your Easter conversation, hey, I've been injected multiple times and I'm still alive. So that disproves your theory on excess death, right?
Sure.
Right. But no, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are, all of us happen to be a little bit different in how our body responds to all kinds of things. And so there is, you know, I will tell you, there's plenty of people I see that have had multiple vaccinations and have no problems. But that doesn't mean they're safe, especially when you tell the whole world to get them, even your 6-month-old. But what he found here was that analyzing the immune profile post-vaccinations, individuals had statistically significant elevations of soluble CD40L, CCL5, IL-6, IL-8. What you'll find with those things is those are, you know, both inflammatory. So soluble CD40L is a ligand that is produced by the endothelium. CCL5 is something on the platelet. And then IL-6 and IL-8 are both inflammatory cytokines. So all that to say, if, you know, again, the immune profile after vaccination is significantly elevated in these people. There's also, goes back to, I think actually when I see a lot of these patients, one of the first things I like to tell them is they're not crazy, because our system currently tells them they are, mainly because they don't have, first of all, they haven't been told. I mean, obviously, even the doctors have been told safe and effective, not to be on the lookout for anything. But when you have things that are statistically significant elevations in abnormal immune markers, yeah, there's something going on. And so what this basically proves is that they're not crazy, that there is a big difference in terms of their persistent symptoms. And the other thing was, it showed that these S1 positive post-vaccine patients demonstrated that they had CD16 positive cells, and they contained S1, S1 mutant, and S2 peptide sequences. So the non-classical and intermediate monocytes, again, their immune cells, are continuing to harbor these proteins, and these proteins are causing upregulation. Again, basically the nice thing about this paper was what it does prove is there is a biological evidence of abnormal response. And that's an important thing when we talk about especially getting, I don't know that I would say science, but getting the rest of the world to get that these are true injuries, because they're not, you know, they're not, there's evidence that there's an abnormal response.
And another thing I think people need to consider, like my cousin who didn't want to hear any proof. I mean, I would ask her simple questions and she just was oblivious to them. And how can you dare question Fauci et al? But we love people. We want the best for people. We did not go into this to destroy our reputations. Our reputations are irrelevant. The health of our patients in the public at large is what is relevant as practicing physicians. And our profession has lost sight of that obligation and duty. They will not debate us. The evidence is overwhelming against them. They will not debate us. It's sad. It's tragic. It is of epic proportions. I'm not overstating it. I'm not being hyperbolic. And all we seek is dialogue with these people so that the people like my cousin, who absolutely rejects anything other than what MSNBC, CBS, even Fox sometimes, a lot of times, they just can't consider a world where everybody they've been listening to for 4 years in the biggest catastrophe in our country's history has been wrong. I get that. That would be a point of fear and frustration and anger that I couldn't imagine being had I been in their shoes for 4 years and waking up to it. Well, actually, I can consider it because knowing it and watching the insanity unfold has been the most frustrating thing in my life by far, as it should be. I'm not angry about it necessarily. I'm thankful that I have the eyes to see and ears to hear. But like Jordan, I know you and Redfield are.
But we're begging these people, just stop, take pause, accept the reality. Just because it's not hitting you, that it is hitting others. And what I would encourage in the detox, air quotes, I have told any of my patients they strongly need to consider it, even if they have no symptoms, like my cousin, like I did yesterday at lunch. And so many times people will say to me, countless times, I dare say hundreds of times, people that got it will say, wow, I didn't know this was happening or this was happening, but when I detoxed, I felt better in this regard or that regard. I just don't understand how eventually, if you really got a shot, if you really got the ingredients that they say are in these shots and not a saltwater shot, if you got one, I don't see eventually how you're not harmed by them. But, you know, the good Lord made a wonderful system called our bodies. And so, yeah.
Yeah, the other interesting thing was they found a statistically significant elevation in IL-8 among vaccinated versus non-vaccinated post-acute COVID or long COVID, which gives you an idea that there's even some other signatures that are useful. And IL-8 is a neutrophil chemotactic factor. It basically causes all kinds of funky things to happen, but it target cell IL-8 induces a series of physiological responses required for migration and phagocytosis, such as increase in intracellular calcium, exocytosis or histamine release, and the respiratory burst. So I think it does go along with why people were getting all these crazy rashes and immune, what I would call mast cell activation. That I definitely see more in the vaccinated than the unvaccinated. But
yeah, the by the way, do you know if IL-8 and the other chemotactic, you know, the other inflammatory promoters or suppressants, are they available on LabCorp Quest? Are they available through the Mac?
Funny enough, I mean, they were for a while. There was a cytokine panel you could do, but for some reason, LabCorp just took it away, which is interesting. So, actually, even talking to Dr. Redfield about it, he was pretty pissed off. But he couldn't understand why they took it away, which again goes to the fact that maybe they don't want people to know that they're immune. Immune cytokines are whacked. So
are there other labs you can that I and you and other doctors can order?
Well, I mean, you can do IL-6, you can do IL-1, IL-2, IL-2 receptor, and IL-10. IL-6 being elevated, I mean, is never good. IL-2 is not great. IL-10 being elevated is actually a good, like, immune response, but if it's continually elevated, it suggests an autoimmune response, meaning your immune system's being activated. So it's almost like a,
yeah.
Anyway, so, but I wish they would name the ILs better. Instead, they name them in order of discovery, I think, and they really have nothing to do. Right. I mean, you can have an IL
level
that's
of importance, right?
Yeah, or whether they're, you know, pro-inflammatory or the other way. I mean, yeah. And so it becomes very confusing. Somebody needs to sit down and revamp the system to say, all right, we name these IL whatevers and they're, you know, those are pro-inflammatory. And then we have ILs that are good, which are the opposite, you know, anti-inflammatory.
And so do you have a panel that you routinely order or that you will order in certain situations?
No, I mean, I look a lot at, platelet and fibrinogen, so just your clotting and fibrinolytic system. So things that I also use are things like thrombin, antithrombin complex, soluble fibrin monomer, transforming growth factor beta. Those are all things that give an indication to me that there's a thrombotic process going on, but also a damage or, you know, things that are not working well in the microvasculature.
And what about the plasminogen activator inhibitor 1?
I think that's helpful as well. I think it, you know, again, using that as an indicator of PIL-1 is pretty hard to catch. So you probably need to do it in the morning. So, but pile one as a SNP, meaning like the solid single nucleotide polymorphism in that area, you can pick that up and see that they are going to be somebody that's going to make more of it than usual. So
do you check for the level or do you check for the genetic marker?
So I check for the genetic marker most because the level is hard to, hard to come by.
That makes sense. Protein S, protein C, you check those levels?
Yes. I mean, sometimes I think, and then the other thing that I've been using recently is von Willebrand's profile and fibrinogen profile, mainly because those kind of tell me, does somebody, one of the things that I didn't realize is how many people have increased factor VIII activity, mm-hmm. which is the second most common thrombophilic disorder. We always hear about factor V, but factor VIII activity is important too. So,
how often are you running across factor VIII problems?
A lot.
Wow. Okay.
So,
good deal.
It's interesting to see how many people actually have it, which goes along with the data. I mean, it's a fairly common thing.
Yeah. By the way, thank you. I've sent you 4 or 5 patients in the last year or two, and I sure appreciate you doing that. Seems like everybody comes back better than I was able to help them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the fun thing is you just learning more and more. I think the other thing that we're really down a rabbit hole of is venous disease. And I think the spike is doing something to the veins and it's devastating people with what I would call hypermobility. But a lot of hypermobile people are probably the people that you were like, man, that guy's a great athlete, or that guy's the guy who ran the ultra marathon. It's devastating a lot of people that are what you would consider the healthy type A active people. And everyone has value. It's just like you would say, man, that guy's, you got it together. Right. And then they're not, they're devastated. So I think that's one of the saddest things to see. The problem is a lot of times when they come into the clinic, if you're used to seeing sick, overweight diabetics, for you to see somebody who's slender and all they can really tell you is they can't run anymore, you're more apt as a physician sometimes to say, oh, well, you're just, what's going on in your life? You're depressed or something like that. And that's not the case with these people at all.
They're depressed because they can't exercise.
Yeah. And actually exercise is a lot of their therapy on top of things. So with that, again, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse. Always one beat ahead. We will see you next week.